Hi, listeners. Welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast from Israel. I am Johanna, your reader today. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of October, and on the Hebrew calendar, it is the 18th day of Tishrei. It is day 4 of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And today in history is a possible date for when the Messiah began to teach in the temple during Sukkot, John 7:14. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and began to teach. This week, we are reading not a regular parasha, but readings pertaining to Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Our first reading from the Torah will be Deuteronomy 15:1-18. But, as always, before we begin our reading, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for giving us His Word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. At the end of every 7 years, you are to cancel debts. This is how you are to cancel debts. Every creditor is to release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He must not force his neighbor or his brother to repay, for the Lord's debt cancellation has been proclaimed. A foreigner you may force, but your hand is to release whatever your brother owes you. However, there should be no poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess. If only you would carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all these mitzvah that I am commanding you today, for the Lord your God will bless you as he promised you. So you will lend to many nations, but not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is a poor man among you, any of your brothers within any of your gates in your land, that the Lord your God is giving you, you are not to harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. Rather, you must surely open your hand to him, and you must surely lend him enough for his need, whatever he is lacking. Watch yourself, so there is no unworthy thing in your heart, saying, "The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, and your eye is evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing." Then he may call out to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin upon you. You must surely give to him, and your heart is not to be grieved when you give to him. For because of this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work, and in every undertaking of your hand. For there will never cease to be poor people in the land. Therefore, I am commanding you, saying, you must surely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. If your fellow Hebrew, a man or woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you are to set him free. When you set him free, you are not to send him away empty-handed. You are to surely provide for him from your flock and threshing floor and winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you are to give to him. You will remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I am commanding you this thing today. Now if he tells you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you. Then you are to take an awl and put it through his ear to the door, and he will be your servant forever. And to your female slave you are to do the same. It should not seem hard to you when you set him free from you, for he has served you 6 years, double the value of a hired worker. So the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. That was Deuteronomy 15:1-18. And our next portion is Numbers 29, 20 through 25. On the third day, offer 11 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 year-old male lambs without defect, with their grain and drink offerings, with the bulls, rams, and lambs the number specified, and a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain and drink offerings. On the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 year-old male lambs without flaw, their grain offerings and drink offerings with the bulls, rams, and lambs by their number according to their regulations, and 1 male goat as a sin offering, and the regular burnt offering with its grain and drink offerings. That was Numbers 29, 20 through 25. Our next portion will be from the prophets, and it is Zechariah 14. Behold, a day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided in your midst. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to wage war. The city shall be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women ravished. Half of the city will be exiled, but the remainder of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you will flee through my mountain valley, because the mountain valley will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee like you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the Kedoshim with him. In that day there will be no light, cold, or frost. It will be a day known only to the Lord, neither day nor night. Even in the evening, there will be light. Moreover, in that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem, half toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea, both in the summer and in the winter. The Lord will then be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be Echad, and his name Echad. The whole land, from Geva to Rimon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arava. Jerusalem will be raised up and occupy her place, from the Benjamin gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will dwell in her, and no longer will there be a ban of destruction. Jerusalem will live securely. Now, this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. It will happen in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Each person will seize the hand of his neighbor, and they will attack each other. Even Judah will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding peoples will be gathered together, an abundance of gold, silver, and apparel. A similar plague will strike the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the animals in that camp. Then all the survivors from all the nations that attack Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of those nations on earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, they will have no rain. If the Egyptians do not go up and celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be the plague that the Lord will inflict on the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This will be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. In that day, holy to the Lord, will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the pots in the house of the Lord will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. In fact, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts, so that everyone who comes to sacrifice will take them and cook in them. In that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. That was Zechariah 14. And now our portion from the writings is 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, just like the abominations of the nations that the Lord had driven out before Bnei Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had demolished. He re-erected altars for the Baalim, and made Asherah poles, and bowed down to all the host of heaven and worshipped them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will be in Jerusalem forever." He also built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courtyards of the house of the Lord. Furthermore, he made his children pass through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and practiced witchcraft, divination, and sorcery, and consulted ghosts and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he placed the carved image of the idol that he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will never again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for their fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them, all the Torah, the statutes, and the ordinances delivered by the hand of Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before Bnei Israel. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought against them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze shackles, and led him to Babylon. In his distress, he entreated the Lord his God, and greatly humbled himself before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty, heard his pleas, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he is God. Afterward, he built an outer wall to the city of David, west of Gihon in the valley, as far as the entrance to the fish gate and encircling the Ophel. He also raised it up much higher. He stationed military officers in all the fortified cities of Judah. He also removed the foreign gods and idols from the house of the Lord, as well as all the altars that he had built in on the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and threw them outside the city. He rebuilt the altar of the Lord and sacrificed on it sacrifices of fellowship and thanksgiving, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high places, but only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, they are written in the records of the kings of Judah. His prayer also, and how God was moved by his entreaty, all his sin and his unfaithfulness, and the sites on which he built high places and erected the Asherah poles and the carved images before he humbled himself, behold, they are written in the records of Hosea. Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. His son Amon became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, just as his father Manasseh had done. Ammon sacrificed to all the carved images that Manasseh his father had made, and worshipped them. He did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. Instead, Ammon increased his guilt. So his servants conspired against him and assassinated him in his own house. Then the people of the land struck down all who had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. That was 2 Chronicles 33, and our final portion for this episode will be from the Apostles, and it's Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard something like the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her whoring, and has avenged the blood of his servants caused by her hand." And a second time they shouted, "Hallelujah! For the smoke from her goes up for ever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, Hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and all who fear him, both the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, or like the rumbling of a powerful thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God of hosts reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kedoshim." Then the angel tells me, "Write, how fortunate are those who have been invited to the wedding banquet of the Lamb." He also tells me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am only a fellow servant with you, and your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one riding on it is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and many royal crowns are on his head. He has a name written that no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth come a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he shall rule them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the furious wrath of the God of hosts. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw a single angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he cried out to all the birds flying high in the sky, "Come, gather for the great banquet of God, to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of generals and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those riding on them, the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great." Also, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the one who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and along with him the false prophet who had performed the signs before him by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, as well as those who had worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the one riding on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves with their flesh. That was Revelation 19, and it concludes our readings for today. However, if you are reading through the Apostles twice this year, you'll be reading Acts 25 also. Thank you for listening. May you have a blessed day and a wonderfully blessed Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, if you are celebrating that with your family. This is Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next time.